Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanaj. My guest today is Alan Sobel. He is the managing member of Sobel Co., which is a Livingston-based accounting and advisory firm. Alan, welcome.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here with you, Jeff.
Good. Thank you for taking the time to join me. Now, I wanted to start with the big news that Sobel Co. came out with a couple weeks ago, and that is a merger with CLA, which is a national firm with headquarters in Minneapolis, if I'm not mistaken. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. What can you tell me about how that deal came about? Were you looking for a partner, or was this sort of just a serendipitous occurrence? How did you get together?
So first of all, actually, I am no longer the managing partner of Sobel Co., as we are now CLA. So I'm actually what they refer to as an MPO. I'm the managing principal of the New Jersey offices. Okay. So my role is going to be slightly different, but essentially, I step into the same shoes that I had before, but just now under the CLA organization.
Okay.
So, you know, to answer your question, we every 4 to 5 years as a firm, we've always undertaken a strategic planning process. And this year was no different. We started this process in April. And like many strategic planning processes, we go through a SWOT analysis. We look at our strengths, we look at our weaknesses, the opportunities and threats. And what while, you know, we're very proud of our heritage and we're really a very, very strong organization and with some things to work on, some weaknesses that we need to work on, none were insurmountable. We really got focused on the threats that were really taking place in our industry overall. There are a lot of things happening. As you probably have read and many of your viewers would have read, there's a shortage of accountants in this industry. And so it's causing a war for talent, not like I've ever seen before. There is a tremendous amount of investment that's required in technology. And whether it's to fend off cybersecurity threats or whether it's the adoption of artificial intelligence to be able to better provide services to our clients and provide deeper analysis and data analytics and things of that nature. Whatever it may be, technology was obviously at the forefront as well, which comes with a very huge price tag. And, you know, we were told by our consultants that we should be prepared to spend, you know, seven-figure type investments over the next 3 to 4 years. And probably that would continue for a long, long time.
Okay.
And as a mid-sized firm, you know, we took those threats very seriously and basically said as part of our strategic plan, maybe we should just start taking a look at what opportunities present themselves. I should mention the other event that's impacting our industry in a big way is the influx of private equity into the public accounting arena. And so there's a lot of capital being thrown around, which is fueling a number of consolidations in the industry.
Okay.
As well as this war for talent. And so, you know, private equity has resources that as a small firm, we didn't have. And so, again, it just became a function of investigating what was ultimately out there.
Okay.
You know, we set, as we went about this, we said we wanted four principles that were important to us. Principle number one was we wanted to be a foundational firm, meaning that we have a proud heritage in New Jersey. We love New Jersey. We think it's the greatest state in the nation. I know we take a lot of, you know, heat from people and a lot of ribbing from other people, but it really is a wonderful state and we're proud of it. And we wanted to be able to bring what we've done over our 60 plus year history to another firm and let them become a market leader for them in the New Jersey market. We weren't looking to be absorbed in another practice.
Okay.
Second, we wanted a firm that was built to last. You know, with all the consolidation going on, it's a big change for us. It's a big change for our people, and it's a change for our clients. And we didn't want to have to come back in a year or two or three and say, hey, by the way, all the things we said that was great about the firm we merged with, we're going to be doing it again, or they're going to be doing it again. So we wanted to find a firm that was built to last. Third, we wanted a firm that was progressive in the way that they treated their people and the way that they treated their clients and how they served their clients. And then last, but probably the most important of all, we wanted to find a firm that was a cultural fit for us. And while we knew that we were going to be looking for a larger firm, and it's maybe not consistent to have a culture like ours, which is a family culture, we wanted to find something that was closely aligned as we possibly can. And so we undertook a process. We talked to a number of firms. And at the end analysis, we landed with CLA. And I'm not just being a cheerleader here. They really did hit every four of the boxes that we were looking to check off, Jeff. They hit every one of them.
Okay. Well, that was the next question, was what was appealing about CLA? How did those discussions go? Can you tell me anything about when you mentioned, for example, the culture? What was it that convinced you that this was the right fit?
So it's a bit intimidating, to be very honest with you, to merge with the eighth largest accounting firm in the country. Okay. You know, my dad would probably, unfortunately, he passed away a year ago, but my dad would be very proud that he's now part of the Big Eight, right? So, which back for those of us who are old enough know that was the, you know, sure, what are now the Big Four accounting firms. Mm-hmm. So he'd be very proud, but it's a bit daunting to know that we're merging with a firm of 8,500 employees and $2 billion in revenues when we were about 200 people and about $35 million in revenues.
Okay.
But from the moment we met them, from the first dinner we had here in New Jersey and throughout the process, they felt just like the right fit. They refer to their colleagues as family members. Mm-hmm. And they really do believe that. It's not just words. At first, I thought it was a little hokey, to be honest with you. But then I experienced it. I experienced it firsthand in the negotiations and how we talked about how we were going to integrate our people. And myself and five of my partners had the opportunity to go to their partner conference, what they call their leaders conference in January before we inked the deal.
Okay.
And when I was in that meeting, notwithstanding the mere size of it, it felt a lot like our firm.
Oh, okay.
And so they talk about being the largest small firm in the country, and they really are. Their clients are Main Street clients, just like ours. They work with privately owned, family owned businesses, entrepreneurs. I'm sure they're doing work in other areas, but their primary focus is in that space. They don't work on the attest side and the assurance side with public companies. That's not an interest to them. That was not an interest to us as well. And so from a client perspective, it was a cultural fit. And then from a people perspective, we felt really good that they were going to treat our people like family. And that was important to us.
Okay, well, that you actually hit the next two questions was, what does this mean for the staff? What does it mean for the clients? Let's start with your staff. I imagine that integration process has already begun. How is it going? And are you finding it to be exactly or close to what you thought it was going to be like?
I pinch myself every day, Jeff, because it's really going very, very well. CLA has done this before, and they really surround us with a lot of talent to make it as easy as possible. Now, I'm going to be very honest. It's February 1st, the merger became effective.
Right.
We are in the height of our busiest season. And
absolutely.
Many people think, like, what were you thinking?
Right.
So in some respects, it was, you know, that's been a very big stress on our people. In other respects, it's really good because we have to immerse ourselves in the technology and all the changes that are taking place, and we're adopting it right away. But just to give you an example, they didn't take it lightly. They didn't just send in a couple of people on the first day after the integration changeover. They had a team of over 20 people in our two offices that were there to help everybody along. So if you couldn't find something, or you were struggling with getting logged on, or you just couldn't get a program to work for you, somebody was there literally walking around the office, popping their heads in and saying, do you need any help? And it was just amazing at how well they made us, how welcome they made us feel.
Okay.
But again, just to be honest with you, there's a lot to swallow here. We're in a lot of training on a daily basis. It seemed to tailor off this week. Last week was pretty intense with a lot of training, and certainly the week before. But again, they've been there. They've done it. We've trusted them in the process. At times, we've kind of been like, wait, can't we slow this down? And now we've gotten to a point where only mission critical things are being really addressed, not the stuff that we'll eventually get to after April 15th.
Okay, right, and obviously they understand it's tax season. They understand this is the big one for you
exactly.
All. So what does that mean for clients then? Are they getting obviously a bigger firm, more resources? What does this offer to what are you going out and telling them, selling your clients on for this deal to stay with you?
So first of all, I think that most of our clients, you know, they typically ask, how is this going to change for me? And our response is essentially not a whole lot different, at least not initially. They're going to work with the same people in the same offices, and we're going to approach the work for the most part the same way. But like any organization, particularly a large organization, there's a little bit more structure. There's a little bit more hierarchy in how decisions might be made. And so we're going to navigate our way through that. But again, one of the things that I liked so much about CLA is they refer to it as power to the front line. They really want to empower those in the local marketplaces. I mean, they have 122 offices across the United States. And so they really empower the local offices to drive that market and their clients the best way that they see fit. Now, there are some things that are non-compromisable. They're not going to compromise on professional standards, and nor did we, by the way, so that's not inconsistent. But, you know, at the end of the day, they want to make sure that we're able to service our clients in the way that we always have, and then at the same time, provide deeper and more specialized resources that can actually help clients along the way to be more successful in their businesses. So I'll give you one example. You know, we have a very nice real estate practice within our firm. We work with a number of developers, private developers, some entrepreneurs that, you know, own real estate and things of that nature. But our practice at the end of the day, you know, while it was about 10% of our firm's practices, still represented only, you know, $3.5 to $4 million worth of fees. At CLA, it's in excess of $100 million. So the experience level there and the things that they see, particularly in other markets, you know, other geographic locations, is incredibly valuable. And that's true for manufacturing and distribution. That's true for professional services. You know, all the niche practice areas they have, because of the mere size, they have a lot of depth and a lot of breadth with which to service our clients well. Okay. So that's, I think, going to be a very big advantage for us in serving those clients and future clients that we hope to attract.
Okay. And then for you personally, I mean, in your, you mentioned your new title at the top. It sounds like what I hear you saying is that you're going to have the, for lack of a better word, autonomy, or at least the ability to work the way you wanted. You have been working, you know, the market, to be able to continue to do that. You're comfortable with the role that as they've defined it for you at this point.
It's still getting defined, to be very honest, Jeff. I mean, I've really focused on making sure everybody else is, you know, well cared for and is in the right place. And, but yes, I, as it relates to the New Jersey market, I will have a tremendous amount of flexibility in the confines of the strategic plan for CLA, right? I can't be a rogue soldier doing whatever we want to do here in New Jersey. We want to be good citizens with CLA and good family members. And we want to, you know, advance the goals and aspirations of CLA as a global, you know, as a global organization. But within our market, yes, we will have a fair amount of flexibility to deliver our services and the way we deliver it and the way we go to market in a way that really kind of meets the New Jersey unique marketplace. And you and I both know that New Jersey is unique.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
In a good way. In a definite good way.
Okay. All right. Well, I also wanted to ask you a little bit. I mean, you've been in this state for a long time. You're one of the most prominent financial advisors and accountants. And Sobelco is obviously a prominent firm. You mentioned a few things about the profession, the difficulty in hiring, the growing influence of technology, and then the private equity. Are those the biggest changes you've seen over the course of, you know, not even so since the pandemic, just over the course of your career here in New Jersey? What are the big changes you've seen? What are you being asked to do now that you hadn't been asked to do in the past?
I would say those are certainly big changes, but some of those have always been around. Like, we've always been dealing with, you know, staff issues, you know, the ability to keep people in this profession. It's a great profession. And by the way, I think there's a great opportunity for people, but it's a hard profession, right? And probably what drives most of that is just the constant change, whether it's accounting rules are constantly changing, or, you know, the tax laws are constantly changing. So as a professional, you're constantly having to keep up on stuff, which makes it difficult, right? You can't go to sleep at night without having to read something to figure out what happened yesterday on a change in a tax law and things of that nature. Technology's always been a change. When I started in this business, right, we didn't have PC computers, right? We worked off of paper and ledgers and things like that. And we've always
adopted green eye shades, right?
Exactly. But here's probably the biggest change that I'm seeing, and it's actually change itself. The speed of change and the cost of change has become much greater than I've ever seen in the course of my career. Okay. We used to be able to adopt things and slowly adopt them, and things would stick around for a while. Mm-hmm. things are changing almost on a daily basis. And if you don't keep up with it, you just fall behind. And so for us, that was a big reason why it was like, we just needed more resources to be able to even just keep up with what's going on in this world. And so the speed of change, I think, is probably the biggest, you know, thing that I've seen. And then, of course, private equity coming in. I don't know what that's going to be in the long term. There are people that are smarter than I that have, you know, have, you know, are figuring that out. It's not completely new. Back in the early 2000s, you had American Express, which bought accounting firms. There was an accounting firm that went public. And so it was there, but it kind of leveled off a little bit after 2008 and now seems to be, you know, something that that's taking place. But I do think at the end of the day, there are going to be many firms, CLA being one of them, that are, you know, built to last and have really no interest in seeing the private equity come in and turning a firm into a financial transaction versus a firm that really services clients and creates opportunities for its people.
Okay. And on the issue of the shortage of accountants, I mean, I've talked to a few of your peers about that same issue. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it's there. I'm curious as to whether there's anything you think that could be done about it. I mean, what I hear is the credentialing process is extremely difficult and extremely costly. And that may be a deterrent. Should that be changed? What else can you do short of that? If you don't think that's the right way to go.
Well, first of all, I think we have an image problem, right? I think we as accountants tend to beat ourselves up pretty bad. So what do? We talk about how hard we work and the number of hours that we put in and we turn people off, right? You know, we turn people off from the profession. So I think the first thing we need to do is we need to get into, you know, we got to make this an attractive business to people younger in their search for what careers they want to, you know, head down. And so there are initiatives that are going on right now where reaching into actually high schools and educating them on the opportunities within side the accounting profession.
Okay.
Frankly, I think the accounting profession needs to pay its people better. I think that, you know, we have fallen a little bit behind. We used to be a profession that actually, you know, paid very, very well relative to other businesses. But now you're starting to see that other paths for people that were considering where they want to go are actually starting salaries or sometimes better than when they are in public accounting. I think there's some movement in there. I think we need to do a better job as a profession attracting minorities. We have not really done a good job. The medical profession seems to have done a decent job in that, and the legal profession has seemed to do a decent job in that. And if you look at the numbers in the accounting profession, it is not as strong as it should be. And I think we need to, again, reach out to people in high school and colleges and make our case as to why the accounting profession is an exciting profession. It's a rewarding profession, and it's a career that really gives great job security for people and attract people of color to our profession because they have a lot to offer here. There's a lot of entrepreneurship in the minority communities and people like to, you know, work with people of similar backgrounds. And I think there's a great opportunity that exists for that. And so that's another way to grow the ranks within our profession. And then broadening the profession overall to other disciplines, even if they're not CPAs or accountants, opening up for other people to work within the profession that can lead to, you know, inspired careers for them.
Okay. And finally, before I let you go, you've been generous with your time. I appreciate that. I'm just curious as to what you're hearing from clients about the state of the economy. I mean, are folks relatively confident about going forward here in 2023? Are there issues that they're worried about, particularly with taxation? We're getting into another election cycle nationally and then the next year here in New Jersey. What are the challenges? What are you anticipating? What are you hearing from your clients about what the business climate is like, both New Jersey and nationally? Since you're part of a national firm now, I can ask you.
Thank you. Well, I'm not so sure I have the pulse on it nationally because, I come back to New Jersey's kind of unique in that regard. So the issues that we see or other people see in other parts of the country may not be what we're seeing here in New Jersey, you know, because we are a densely populated state. Sure. We have New York City and Philadelphia at both ends, you know, kind of helping us support. And those are fairly robust issues. But what I can tell you what my clients are saying to me is they're nervous. Mm-hmm. Like they keep hearing that we're going to go be in a recession. Some might say that we are. I don't really know. But, you know, they keep on wondering when that shoe is going to drop. What is on their mind is inflation. What is on the mind is rising interest rates. Those are two things that definitely are, you know, impact their businesses and are concerning to them. I've had a number of clients that have not been able to keep up with their price increases on through inflation. You know, they're seeing costs going up, labor in particular going up, but they're not able to quick enough adjust their pricing. So they're seeing their margins getting thinner and therefore their profitability getting thinner. The good news is they tend to be there. Most of our clients are fairly strong on their balance sheet and probably will, you know, get through this pretty well. There are a couple of them that might be at risk, but generally speaking, I think people are optimistic. They just are a little bit nervous right now as to, you know, what's going to happen in the, you know, in the future.
Okay. Well, I hope you'll come back and tell us a little bit about what does happen in the future. That would be great if you could do that.
Would love it. Thank you, Jeff. Okay. That would be my honor.
Alan Sobel, who until recently was the managing member of Sobel Co., is now, you run the New Jersey market for CLA, which is a national accounting firm. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff. It's my pleasure. It's great to see you.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.